going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
And stay tuned now for a report on the Kayaktivists.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
She is with Portland Rising Tide. And Meredith, can you tell us about the Kayaktivist action that's going on today and I guess through the night tonight?
So last Saturday, we had about 150 people turn out onto the water on kayaks to protest the Shell's Seneca icebreaker that's currently docked on Swan Island. And we expect the icebreaker to leave sometime in the middle of the night. And we plan to meet it with hopefully as much resistance, but at least as much resistance as we can demonstrate.
And what is the action that's actually going to be taking place?
I just actually got to the park myself, and there is a few dozen people here that plan to stay here through the rest of the afternoon and into the evening, basically holding space in the park. We're calling it a vigil, and folks will be on land and also taking to the water in kayaks to hold space and hold vigil as the boat passes.
And will there be direct action to try to stop the boat from returning to the Arctic?
Well, I can't guarantee either way what's going to happen, but I do think that there are people that are willing to put themselves in between the boat and, you know, the Columbia River tonight. So I think we can expect to see that sort of action thing, although, like I said, can't guarantee for sure what we're gonna see.
Was there any of that type of activity on Saturday? Were there any arrests, anyone actually engaged in civil disobedience?
There were no arrests on Saturday. The situation is that the boat was in the dock. It's not even in the water right now. It's dry docked, which means it's pulled up outside of the water. So we're not really able to access it, and there was a private security boat that did issue a warning saying we needed to keep a certain distance. And when the boat leaves tonight, when the boat is in the water, we expect it to be escorted by the Coast Guard. There is a safety buffer zone that will be surrounding it of, my understanding is, 500 yards to the front of the boat and 100 yards on every other side of the boat. It is illegal to enter that.
Is that normal for a ship of this size to have that kind of a buffer zone, or is this a specific security concern for this icebreaker rig?
I don't think this is normal. There's marine traffic of this size pretty typically on the Columbia. The boat is not larger than other large boats that make their way up the Columbia and Willamette rivers. This is the same safety zone that folks that were organizing against the Polar Pioneer and the Shell rig in Seattle recently. They said they had that same safety zone issued to them as well. So I think it is kind of a political move, and also because they are expecting resistance to the movement of these vessels.
And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about this ship. What is it, and what's it doing here in Portland?
So the Seneca is an icebreaker, and Shell has the permits to begin exploratory drilling in the Arctic, and the wheels are in motion for that to go ahead and take place. So the Seneca is an icebreaker, so they need it to safely negotiate the waters up in the Arctic, which obviously contain ice. The Seneca ran aground and received a, I believe it's a 30-inch dash in the side of it, of its hull, and it had to return and come all the way down to Portland to receive the very specific repairs that it needs to its hull. The other thing that's unique about the Seneca is that it is carrying a piece of equipment known as a capping stack, and that is a piece of very crucial safety equipment that Shell needs to have on site in the Arctic in order to begin their exploratory drilling. It is supposedly used to tap a oil spill if such a disaster were to occur. I've heard that this was the sort of equipment that ultimately was used to plug up, to at least a certain degree, the oil spill at the Deepwater Horizon spill.
Now, this ship has not been in the Arctic for very long. How did they manage to get a hole in the hull of the ship so quickly?
I couldn't tell you that for sure, but it does raise a lot of concerns that that they might be trying to rush work, or perhaps that they're not going about things as safely as they would have us believe. The government's own report on drilling in the Arctic said that if a full-on oil drill operation is to actually take place in the Arctic, then there is a 75% chance that a spill will occur, a major spill. So that is really an unacceptable risk, and it's unfortunate to see that, you know, in such a short time, they already have had experienced problems with their equipment out there.
Is the repair of this icebreaker ship the last step that Shell has to go through before beginning their Arctic drilling project?
Unfortunately, the Obama administration did approve permits that are needed. So the drilling, I should emphasize, it's exploratory drilling. So it is not actually undergoing a full, a full oil extraction. they're not trying to set up full-on oil drill wells there yet, because they're still actually looking to see what is available there. But what's most troubling about that is that exploratory drilling is basically seeking to find new oil reserves that would not even be tapped for a decade or two in the future. So it basically represents a complete lack of transition away from oil and towards fossil fuel-free lifestyle that we know we need. If we're still drilling and entering massive oil reserves in 10 or 15 years, then we're all in a lot of trouble.
What do you see as the biggest problem with drilling in the Arctic for oil?
I think what I just said, I think that we need to not only stop and transition away from fossil fuels as quickly as possible, but that continuing to explore new reserves and potentially new huge reserves of oil is like a ticking time bomb. You know, we could be releasing so much more carbon into the atmosphere. And at this point, all the science says that we've already gone too far and we need to halt it immediately. So drilling in the Arctic and this exploratory drilling represents a refusal to switch gears and step in the right direction.
What brought you yourself to get involved in this issue and to take such a strong stand that you're willing to go out in a kayak to block this ship tonight?
Well, I've been involved in Portland Rising Tide for a number of years, and Portland Rising Tide has consistently focused on fighting the infrastructure and different fossil fuel development. And in the Northwest, we're kind of uniquely situated in a position where often we see the transport of equipment or of fossil fuels themselves coming through our towns and our cities, whether it is oil trains, coal trains. We've even seen tar sands, mining equipment being shipped up our highways and up our rivers. So I think this is kind of a continuation of that, but even on a bigger scale. And Shell is a company that has a really poor track record of respecting human rights. And we could see, you know, a similar situation in the Arctic. There are communities that live in the Arctic as well. It's not just a frozen wasteland where, you know, no one lives, and it's actually a pristine ecosystem, and there are Native communities and other folks who rely on the ecosystem to survive. So it's also a climate justice issue, but also a human rights issue as well.
You mentioned earlier that there was a study showing a 75% chance that there would be an oil spill in the Arctic.
Yeah. So in the process to receive these permits to start exploratory drilling, the government undergoes a number of environmental reviews, and one of those reviews said that a 75% chance of a spill was likely if drilling is to begin underway. So that doesn't mean this exploratory drilling has that 75% chance. What that does mean is the result of this exploratory drilling, which could be a full-on establishment of, you know, and exploitation of this reserve, that could result in a spill. It seems really mind-boggling. I don't understand it myself. I know that often these agencies are generally act as rubber stamping agencies. So even when the risk is really high, they essentially feel the pressure to just go ahead and give the green light on their environmental review, no matter how dire it.
What else would you like people in the listening area to know about tonight's action?
We're asking people to come on down tonight. We'll have folks in the park through the night as best we can. We're asking people to come self-prepared with food and water and things they need to stay comfortable overnight. If there's people that want water and you don't have a boat, we might have a boat for you, so don't be dismayed. Come on down and see, and regardless, there is still the vigil being taken place on land that we hope to maintain through the night. Beyond that, I think that we can be pressuring our politicians. The Obama administration can continue to hear from us. They've already made a decision on this, but I think that, like I've been saying, this is exploratory drilling, and the real deal has yet to come. So I think we're poised really well to send a really clear message that people are not going to stand for this in the future.
And that's at Cathedral Park up by the St. John's Bridge?
Cathedral Park, yeah, we're underneath the St. John's Bridge. We're at the north end of the park near a boat ramp and parking lot.
Can you give the website where people can find more information?
You can look up Climate Action Coalition on Facebook, and there is a PDX versus Shell event that we've posted.
And, of course, to find out more about Shell's Arctic drilling project, you could find more at 350pdx.org. And as we talk about this drilling that is proceeding now, and people are planning to try to stop the ship tonight, but it seems that it's been repaired and it's on its way back to the Arctic.
Yeah, I think it's important for us to demonstrate that one really important thing that we can do is turn out and get numbers out to even just hold space, and even if we are just to watch the ship float by, even if we are not able to get out in the water and physically stop it, I think that we have all kinds of eyes on us. We've been receiving media from around the country right now, and we're really at the center of attention right now of the climate crisis. So I just encourage everyone to come down to Cathedral Park.
In Seattle, when the kayaktivists tried to stop the oil drilling rig from leaving the port of Seattle, the mayor and other local politicians issued statements in support of the activists. Has there been anything like that going on here in Portland?
There was a rally about this issue, a rally against Shell. This was 2 weekends ago, and I guess Jeff Merkley actually showed up to the rally and demonstrated his support for our activism and the issue. So far he's been the only one that we've spoken to. It's kind of a whirlwind. So I don't know if other politicians are with us or against. We've reached out to the mayor and a few other folks, but it's been a really quick turnaround, and it would be great if they would come down here tonight and show their support.
But so far, no word from Mayor Charlie Hales?
We have not received any word from him yet.
If people are interested in finding out more information about tonight's action and about this issue in general, you can go to 350pdx.org. That's the number 350pdx.org. That number 350 refers to the number of parts per million that the carbon emissions need to get down to in order to mitigate the most serious impacts of climate change. Again, we've been speaking with Meredith Cox. She's with Portland Rising Tide, one of the groups involved in tonight's action. Meredith Cox, I want to thank you for joining us today on KBOO.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
This is Jenka Soderberg reporting for KBOO News.
Proud co-sponsor of the summer concert in Dawson Park, featuring a live performance by Bamba y su Pilón de Azúcar Band on Wednesday, July 29th at 6:30 p.m. The mission of Summer Concerts in the Park is to bring cultural diversity to metropolitan area residents. Bamba y su Pilón de Azúcar Band play a full range of popular and traditional salsa, son cubano, timba, and tropical styles as cumbia, merengue, y bachata. Again, that's the summer concert in Dawson Park with Bamba y su Pilón de Azúcar Band on Wednesday, July 29th at 6:30 p.m. Dawson Park is located at North Stanton and North Williams Avenue in Portland. More information about ticket prices and directions can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present The Yes Men Are Revolting as part of the KBOO at the Clinton monthly film series. The Yes Men Are Revolting is a documentary directed by Andy Bickelbaum and Mike Bonanno, which follows the comedy troupe The Yes Men as they stage phony press releases and events to bring attention to environmental dangers and corporate greed. Again, that's The Yes Men Are Revolting, Thursday, August 13th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war.